Well, good evening, everyone. This is Donna Partow welcoming you to your 90-day jumpstart to a new you. We are on week three of our 90-day journey, which is about 12 and a half weeks. And tonight, our subject is healthy eating, and in particular, we're going to focus our attention on the subject of fasting. We are entering into a 10-day Daniel challenge, which is a kind of a fast of a sort. And so I thought that this evening would be worthwhile to do a little bit of a teleseminar on the subject of healthy eating and specifically the role of fasting as part of an overall healthy eating program. Please, ladies who are in the chat room, would you go ahead and just type in confirmation that you are indeed hearing the sound of my voice tonight? You wonderful. Hi, Jen. Hi, Rebecca. Elliot's mom. Wonderful. Good to have you here. This evening, it is the top of the hour, and so I'm going to go ahead and open in prayer. I'm going to do a roughly about a one-hour teaching, and then after that, I will open up the phone lines, as I did last week, and you're welcome to call in if you would like, and I can pray for you, or you can simply type your prayer request into the chat screen, and I will pray for you there as well. If you have any questions, concerns, praise reports, testimonies, anything that you'd like to talk about as far as your involvement with a 90-day jumpstart, it might be good for you at the end of the teleseminar to go ahead and call the number at the bottom of your screen. If you've got a cell phone, there's no charge for that anyway. Go ahead and call in, and we can dialogue about it. I mean, one of the reasons that we are calling this the Exclusive Access Club is that you have exclusive access here on Monday nights to call in and ask me your questions and get my feedback on how you're doing in the process of becoming the woman that God would have you be. Let's go ahead and open in prayer to your Heavenly Father. I thank you so much for the women that you have entrusted to my care for these 90 days, these women, these little miniature flock that I am attempting to shepherd. Lord, I know that apart from you, I can do nothing. But I thank you that as you are the vine and we are the branches, as we stay rooted in you, abiding in you, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so, Father, I thank you that because of the mind of Christ that we possess, because of Christ in us, the hope of glory, that we can do all things and all things well. Father, I'm continuing to ask and to intercede on the behalf of every woman who has registered for this 90-day journey, that you would do for me, even as you promised, Father, even as you promised the Son, that you would not allow the enemy to snatch even one out of his hand. And I ask that you would not allow the enemy to snatch even one out of my hand as well. And Father, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would be the divine tutor for each student who's enrolled in this class and those things that she's just not quite ready to hear or not ready to walk into. God, I pray that it would be hidden with Christ and God, that it would just be under the blood of Jesus. That day she wouldn't even see it if it's going to be a stumbling block or throw her into I can't do this. God, that she just wouldn't even see it. She would just pass right over it. Like it would be like the Red Sea. The page would just part and she would just walk on through. God, I believe and I'm asking you that every woman who set out on this journey towards the promised land of becoming the woman that you would have them be, I pray that every woman is going to make it across that finish line and enter in. And I ask that in the name of Jesus. Well, ladies, this week we're entering into week three, and we're talking about healthy eating habits. And I want to talk about specifically the role of fasting in the lives of Christians, because I think that it's something that we have completely lost, for the most part, as a church. Now, it's beginning to make a resurgence. I was in the airport last week. Those of you who watched my little video update saw that I encountered my book, which was like a very super cool moment. You have no idea. And I picked up a book on fasting, which I'm excited to say that apparently it's really selling. It says on the cover that it's a New York Times bestseller on fasting. I don't know. I stand amazed. If that's true, I never would have dreamed that a book on fasting would make the New York Times bestseller list. But if, in fact, that is true, and it's not another book of his that made the bestseller list, but is, in fact, this one on fasting, I think that bodes well for the church in America, because I do believe that there is power and authority that is released in our lives as we enter into the spiritual discipline of fasting. Now, I want to be careful to set this up and be clear about what I am saying and what I'm not saying so that there will be no opportunity for the enemy to come in and sow confusion. I'm not saying that if you don't fast, you are a very, very bad person, and your trip to heaven is in jeopardy. Your eternal salvation is at stake, and if you don't fast and pray, God will not like you as much as he likes other people. I'm not saying any of those things, because the fact of the matter is, if you live on chocolate chip cookies and donuts all day long, the finished work of Christ is sufficient for you, and no one can take from you, I believe, no one can take from you that free gift of salvation that Christ paid that you might receive. But I want to say this. Paul, throughout his letters to the New Testament, always spoke of grace and peace. Grace and peace. Now, grace, I would define as your free trip to heaven. It cost Jesus his life, but grace is your right to spend eternity in heaven. That is what grace, the grace of God, has purchased for you. Now, the peace of God is something else. If grace is your free ticket to heaven, then I would say that peace is your ticket to enjoying the trip. And I meet a lot of Christian women who, by the grace of God, will spend all of eternity around the glassy sea, but they're not walking in the peace of God. That peace is from the Hebrew shalom, and it means total well-being in every area of your life. Total well-being. I think the Hebrew, there's a Greek word there, sozo, I think, if I'm not mutilating it. But it's the same concept in the Greek and in the Hebrew shalom and the Greek sozo. It's like a total salvation experience. That God cares more about whether or not you've just got a free trip to heaven. God cares about the quality of your life here on earth, and he cares about the quality of the fruit that your life produces for the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, I was listening, I shared with you to the hymn, the great love, the hymns, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, Merciful and Mighty. I mean, just amazing, amazing old hymn. And it talks about how all the saints will be gathered round the glassy sea, casting down their golden crowns before him. All that we have done in our lifetimes, that someday we're going to stand before the King. Jesus talked over and over in the New Testament. He was, oh, you know, really, track with me on this, sisters, especially read the book of Matthew. Jesus does not talk a whole lot about personal salvation. Now, don't have a heart attack, okay? Stay with me now tonight. Jesus rarely talked about that free ticket to heaven. Do you know what Jesus talked about constantly? If you don't believe me, read the book of Matthew. What he talked about constantly was the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. God's concern is for the kingdom. And yes, God wants you to spend eternity in heaven. I'm not disputing that. Yes, we do need to be born again. I was born again. Those of you who know my testimony, I was a drug addict. I was a drug dealer. And there I was sitting beside the Delaware River. People had been witnessing and sharing the truth of God with me, that grace that was available to me, that Christ had paid for my sins and salvation was available for me. I was sitting down all by myself by the Delaware River that separates New Jersey and Pennsylvania, and the power of the living God came upon me, and I entered into that salvation. I received that free gift, and I got up from that riverbank delivered instantly from the power of drugs, and that was now almost 30 years ago. July of this year will mark my 30th year of my anniversary of walking with the Lord, my anniversary of sobriety, my anniversary of ministry, everything. Big, big, big. July of this year will be huge for me. But in any event, God wants more than that. Yes, he wants that. So we caught that. But he wants more than that. God wants us to, if I may borrow my own phrase, maximize our lives for maximum kingdom impact. Christ's concern is the advance of the kingdom upon the earth. And I want to show you something that maybe you have not seen before. The disciples came to Jesus and said, "We want to know how to pray. Because, Jesus, when you pray, something happens." You know, I have a feeling maybe they were a lot like us. You know, they had been moving in the power and the authority of God, but they saw that there was a difference when Jesus prayed. and they wanted to know it. And so they come to Jesus, and this is in the book of Matthew. I should have the chapter here in front of me. Got on my screen. In the book of Matthew, and they come to Jesus, and they say, teach us how to pray. And you want to know the first thing that he tells them? He says in verse 8, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I'll tell you, this is something that I'm always, always teaching. Your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. Now, it's okay to present our request to God so that that peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds. That's fine. But what he's saying is get a revelation. God knows what you need. You have a loving Heavenly Father, and he's looking out for you. He's caring for you. He's a good and a loving Father. And because we understand that God knows what we need, and he's a good shepherd, and he's taking care of us, then this is how we ought to pray. And Jesus goes on and says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Did you catch that? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus says, do you want to know how to pray? Forget about all the things that you think you need from God and get focused on all of the things that God wants to accomplish in this earth through your life. And I would say specifically through the prayers of God's people. I taught about this a little bit last week. Now, after Jesus gives us this model prayer of how we should be praying about kingdom concerns, not our own private concerns. And by the way, notice it says our Father, not my Father. I think there's an assumption, I shared it this last week, of corporate prayer. Then he goes on, after talking about, he talks about two things. He talks about forgiveness. He even says if you don't forgive them their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's wild. I'm not going to camp out there tonight. And then the next thing he says, okay, now what's the question? How do we pray? And the implied by Jesus' response is, how do we get God to give us what we feel like we need? And Jesus gives them basically four steps. He says, number one, get a revelation. God already knows what you need. He's got it taken care of, okay? Let's move on to the next subject. Number two, pray about kingdom concerns. Number three, walk in forgiveness. And what's the very next thing in verse 16? When you fast. It's all tied together. It's unfortunate how we kind of take out snippets and snatchets of the Bible and look at them kind of piecemeal instead of looking at the whole counsel of God, even a whole chapter here. You know, we pluck out, you know, the Lord's Prayer and we put it on a bookmark, and that's wonderful, but we forget, we neglect to include on the bookmark what comes before and what comes after. And I'm saying that if we're going to be the women that God would have us be, and especially if we're going to make it through these 10 days of the Daniel Challenge, listen, ladies, the women who did not make it last time, the women who really dropped out during the course of these 10 days, never to be seen or heard of again, they were so focused, it blew my mind. I never saw such a focus on what can I have. Oh, but I feel like I need this or I need that and I need protein and I need to check with my doctor and I need this and I need that and, you know, I can't go without whatever. There was such a focus as we were leading into those 10 days and such a focus throughout the 10 days on, you know, what's the bare minimum I can do? Is God really requiring this? What about what I need? And so I just really wanted to, and I hope I mean, I'm from New Jersey. I'm trying to be loving here. I mean, I'm telling you this stuff because I care about you. And I want you to walk in all that God has for you. So during this 10 days that's coming up, beginning on day 16, I'm begging you, don't focus on what you think you need. We're going to come into balance, and obviously if you're literally physically ill, that's going to be a different, you know, that's a different thing. You've got people in your life who can bring wisdom and balance, and, you know, I just didn't think the 10 days of God's food is going to do anybody any harm at all, and I think it's going to do 99.999% of us a world of good, both physically and spiritually. But Jesus says, okay, you want to know how to pray? That's the question. That's what's on the table. He gives them the model, praying about the kingdom, tells them you better walk in forgiveness, and then the next subject he talks about, when you fast. Doesn't say if you fast. doesn't say, and forget about that whole fasting thing, because that's so Old Testament, and we don't need to worry about it. He says, when you fast. And what is the context? The entire context of all of this is the disciples coming to Jesus and saying, we want to be able to pray like you do. We want to be able to pray like you do. And Jesus says, pray about kingdom concerns. Number one, understand God knows what you need. Don't keep reminding him. Number two, focus on the kingdom. Number three, walk in forgiveness. And number four, fasting is a component in all of this. When you fast, you know, don't look gloomy. Don't look, you know, down and disfigured and, oh, I'm, you know, I'm making it 10 days without a donut. You know, walk it with joy. Walk it with expectation that, God is going to work and move on our behalf. You know, one of the things that I want you to get hold of is that there is a battle. The scripture talks about between, you know, kind of the world, the flesh, and the devil on one side and the things of God on the other. And saints of old, when I say saints, I mean believers, all believers who really walked with God. Those people throughout church history who walked in the power and the authority and the anointing of God, who really saw answers to prayer, they understood the power and the importance of fasting. They understood it and they walked in it. And they also talked about what they said, putting the flesh under. That something happens spiritually when God sees a human being who will say no, as the scripture says, no to worldly passions in order to say yes to the Spirit. You see, we are spirit, soul, and body. We are kind of, if I may say, triune, like we have a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We are triune also. We are spirit, soul, and body. And the soul encompasses your mind, your will, your emotions. What I want, what I think, and what I feel. Say it again. The soul is what I want, what I think, and what I feel. And the area of the soul and the body very often war against the things of the Spirit. Because we want to get up and we want to spend that hour in prayer and we want to meet with God, but our body says, I'm tired and I feel like hitting the snooze button and I don't want to get up, and I think my day will be okay even if I sleep here another hour. Are you catching this? That there really is a battle between the soul and the body and what I want, what I think, what I feel like doing, what's comfortable, what's convenient, and the spirit that cries out deep within us, that hungers and thirsts for righteousness, that hungers and thirsts for right living, that part of our spirit that says, yes, I want to be able to walk in the power of God. I want to be a mighty woman of God. I want to be able to pray and see answers. When someone says they're sick, I want to pray and I want to see God heal them. When someone says their child has gone astray and they're a prodigal, I want to be the kind of person who can pray and the phone rings and it's that prodigal who's come to repentance. I mean, that's me, girls. I mean, that's not where I am. That's where I want to be. And I'm zealous for that. I'm zealous. My spirit, something deep within me said, yeah, God, oh, I want that. I want to be able to speak a word in due season. I want to know God's word. I want faithful instruction to be on my tongue. I want my family to rise up and call me blessed. I want my arms to be strong for my task. I want to be diligent. I want to be all these things that we're seeing in the Proverbs 31 woman. I want in my spirit, I hope this is making sense, my spirit cries out and longs for that right living. But there's a battle. And where's the battle? The battle is against the world, the flesh, and the devil. The battle is against, but I want, you know, the easy way out, and I think I'm going to just sit and watch my favorite TV show, and I have to have an opinion about all this political stuff, and I feel like driving to Starbucks and getting a caramel macchiato. I hope this is making sense, and I really do believe that when we fast, something happens in the spiritual realm. I just believe it. And more than believe it, it's a clear teaching of Scripture that when we say no to the flesh, it strengthens us in the spirit. And I've shared this a million times, and I've probably even shared it this season. You know, the Billy Graham's old illustration about the guy who had the black dog and the white dog, and they used to go to these dog fights, and every week he knew which one would win, but no one else could figure out which one would win because they were both equally strong and equally talented. And finally they said, "What's the secret? How do you know which dog is going to win any given week, the black dog or the white dog?" And he said, "It's easy. The one I feed is the one that wins." If you are constantly feeding your flesh, if your body says, "I feel like having a donut and sitting on the couch and watching TV," and you say, "Okay, that's what we're going to do," you are feeding the flesh and you are making it stronger. It's just that simple. I mean, don't jump through the phone and smack me for telling you the truth. But when you say no to the flesh, when you say no, body, you're not the boss. I'm going to say yes to the spirit. I'm going to press in prayer and fasting. I'm telling you, something happens. Something happens that's powerful. And again, I know I'm being very bold because I've experienced myself fresh and anew the power of fasting. Last week, a Sunday ago, the pastor challenged us, did the whole message on fasting. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to walk in fasting. And I just did kind of a liquid fast. I downed a couple of, nuts. I think I took maybe a handful of nuts a day if I felt like I was really kind of lagging there. But, again, you don't have to be legalistic. The point is saying no to the flesh. That's the point of the fast, practicing saying no to worldly passions and the demands of your flesh and what you want, what you think, what you feel, so that you have the freedom to say yes to God. That's the point. So don't lose that. So I took 6 days. Girlfriends, I'm telling you what, the power of God that I saw at my event, it's like, Donna, why don't you do that for every event? And, Deanna Allen, I hope Deanna will join us tonight. I forgot to invite her. I mean, Deanna should know that she's always welcome and we always love having her. Deanna Allen pretty much fasts every event that she speaks at. And is it any wonder that she is such a powerful and mighty anointed woman of God? Now, I think it's because she practices saying no to the flesh. So Jesus assumed if we really wanted to have power in prayer, and I can give you so many testimonies, even from the last 90-day jumpstart, that those women who fasted from the heart, they saw major, major breakthroughs in their life, especially in the lives of their children. And so I want you ladies to press in. One thing, a lot of, do I need to consult with my physician? I would say this. If you consult with your physician before you order pizza, if you consult with your physician before you drive through at McDonald's or Burger King or Taco Bell, if you feel the need to consult with your physician before you get the 1,200-calorie, nothing but sugar and caffeine, caramel macchiato at Starbucks, if you feel like you need to call and talk to your physician when you decide you're not going to get any exercise at all for like an entire month or 2 months, if you feel like you need to call your physician before you do any of those things, then I would say that absolutely, positively, yes, you should call your physician before you spend 10 days eating God's food. But if you can do all of those things that are clearly terrible for you without consulting with a physician, why do we all of a sudden, and this is another thing that came up with the first 90 days, we better consult with our physician before we take 10 days to eat God's food. Listen, sisters, I'm not saying, go crazy here. I'm not saying an extreme nothing but water fast. I'm not saying that. What we're challenging you to do, beginning on day 16 and then for 10 days, is to eat God's foods, not man's food, God's food, specifically just water. I think you need to eliminate everything but water from your diet. That's it, just water. Now, if you want to put a little bit of lemon in there, hot lemon water in the morning, one of the things that Bill Bright, who wrote the book The Coming Revival, he went on to be with the Lord, but he wrote the book The Coming Revival. He was the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. And what he used when he did a 40-day fast, and which I've used many times when I've fasted, and I love it, it's hot water with fresh lemon, grade B, like a tablespoon of grade B maple syrup and some cayenne pepper. Sisters, it is so delicious. I'm telling you, I actually really love it. It gives you a lot of energy, and it's just wonderful. So if you want to do some of that, that's fine. But the challenge with Daniel was that he wasn't going to eat, you know, the world's food. He was going to eat God's food. So, you know, ask the Lord to show you what that looks like. I mean, for me, the last time we did this, basically I did a lot of water. I did lemon water, and then I did probably once a day I did spinach. I love spinach. So I would, you know, I would put some nuts on it for protein. I would throw on some, I love pecans, so I would throw on some seeds. I would throw on some pecans, maybe a couple of blueberries for flavor. And, yeah, you know, I would throw on some, you know, vinegar and oil, olive oil and balsamic vinegar, you know, for a little bit of taste there. You know, and again, we're not trying to be legalistic. What we're trying to do is, you know, get our heart, okay, God, for 10 days, I really want to be consecrated to you. What I want to do is practice saying no to myself, saying no to the things of this world, specifically man-made food, and I want to practice as a sacrifice. You know, our body is the only living sacrifice that we have to offer God. So as a sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you, God, I'm going to lay that down, and I'm going to try to eat your food. So that was kind of the way that I went about it. You know, if your family is alarmed and they're like, Mom, you know, you need to eat something, say, great, I'll have some broccoli. I'll have some, you know, you want carbohydrates? There's plenty of carbohydrates in corn, in lima beans. You might even have a baked potato. I think at one point in the last fast, I took out and I had a baked potato, and between you, me, and the fence post, I probably did throw some butter and salt on it. There's a full confession. But, you know, that's fine. Listen to your body. Realize, of course, that your body is going to go nuts, especially if you're toxic. I mean, if you are someone who has a lot of soda or coffee and caffeine, you know, you're going to have a headache. Your stomach's going to grumble. It's going to complain. You might throw up. You might have diarrhea. Actually, those are all really good signs. That is your body saying, thank you. You finally gave me a break from this unbelievably challenging task of digestion. And you're giving me a chance to throw out all this garbage that I have not been able to process for the last 10, 20 years. I do believe, you know, I know Shirley Dobson, a friend of mine knows her pretty well. Shirley Dobson, throughout all of her child-rearing years, fasted every Monday. It was just a matter of course for her. Every Monday, she set aside as a day to pray and fast. I think that's really just a fabulous idea. I think the pastor's wife at the church across the street here that I go a lot in the evening to hear her do a Bible teaching. But I think she does that. I think she fasts once a week. And you know what? Both of those women, you know, you never see an ounce of fat on them, do you? You know, I think that if we would just incorporate regular times of fasting, that giving our body a break from digestion, it would really be a wonderful habit and discipline to incorporate back into our lives. You know, the scripture is filled with fasting. I'm just going to go ahead and give you examples of some of these. The scripture talks about how some things only go out by prayer and fasting. Now, one thing that God showed me, I was speaking in Houston last week, and I've been fasting 6 days, and really was just having so much fun with God. I it should be against the law to have that much fun with God. I was just having so much, I'm teasing, of course, but I was just dancing in my hotel room and just so happy to be his servant. It's just so cool. But anyway, what God showed me is that what is standing between the women and who they want to be, number two, he said two things. Now, this was for this group in Houston, but I'll bet that this applies to a lot of women listening tonight. Number one, food, your love affair with food. Food is an idol for too many of us. Rather than running to God, when someone hurts our feelings, when we're feeling down, when we're feeling bored, all those opportunities that we should be running to God, where do we run? We run to food. Food, number one, he said, the number one thing that's preventing most of the women in the room where I was speaking was food. And number two was idle chit-chat. You can write that down if you want. Take it to the Lord and say, God, is it same with me? I bet I would guess that it is the same for many of you who are listening. It's food and it's idle chit-chat keeping you from becoming the woman that God would have you be. And Matthew 17, 20, 21, Jesus said, hey, listen, some things only go out by prayer and fasting. And I think a food addiction, which I would think, listen, when I travel around the country and stand up in front of groups of women, I would say that food addiction and love affair with food, huge problem in the church. Ezra called the nation to a fast. Ezra 8, 21 to 23. They were fasting. They had a difficult problem. They needed to know the solution. They fasted. Samuel fasted and prayed for revival. 1 Samuel 7, 1 through 8. Elijah fasted. Elijah fasted for 40 days. 1 Kings 19, 2 through 18. The widow fasted. 1 Kings 17 and 12. Paul fasted. It said that Paul was fasting. He needed to make a decision. He needed insight from God. The Apostle Paul fasted. Acts chapter 9, verses 9 through 19. Daniel fasted. Daniel fasted for, as the Daniel fast we're doing, he fasted for physical well-being. He said, God, I believe that as I'm faithful to pursue you and to say no to the things of the world, that you're going to strengthen me. It's Daniel 1, verses 12 through 20. John the Baptist fasted. Is anybody noticing a trend here? John the Baptist fasted. Matthew 3 and 4, Luke 1 and 15. Esther, remember Esther had a problem with her husband? People come to me, they've got a problem with their husband. I say, number one, do what Esther did. What did she do? She fasted for 3 days and got people to join her in it before she asked her husband or brought up a difficult subject, an awkward subject, something that she knew her husband probably didn't want to talk about. She fasted for 3 days, and I put this challenge out to women all the time. If you really feel strongly that there's something you need to talk to your husband about and you know it's going to be difficult, but he needs to hear what you have to say, then you fast for 3 days. And if you don't feel strongly enough about it to fast for 3 days, then you don't feel strongly enough about it, and you ought to leave it be. Esther fasted. A protection against the evil one, fasted because she wanted to talk to her husband about a difficult subject, fasted for the salvation of her people, Esther 4 and 16. John Wesley, my hero, the event I did was a Methodist event, he would not ordain someone to the ministry unless they were willing to fast 2 days a week, Wednesdays and Fridays. And again, we don't want to be legalistic, but there's power. You know, one of my great heroes is Jackson Sinyong in Uganda. And there's been a real revival there. Still a lot of problems, but, you know, they've had some good things too. He said the pattern of the church, they eat for 10 days, eat and preach, then they fast for 10 days. Preach for 10 days, fast for 10 days. They have done this for years. For years. The church fathers, if you read the early church fathers, all of them fasted and prayed. Martin Luther, John Calvin, Jonathan Edwards, Charles Finney, Andrew Murray. By the way, when you get to heaven and you're looking for me, find Andrew Murray's mansion. I'll be living in the tool shed in the back of the property. I mean, you talk about a powerful man of God. Amazing. He fasted. Fasting is how we humble ourselves before God. Fasting is how we say, listen, these are my priorities. You know, here's how Galatians 5, I think it's verse 17, it says that there are two forces within us constantly fighting each other to win control over us, and our wishes are never free from their pressure. That's the Living Bible. There's a pressure within us between the world, the flesh, and the devil. I want, I think, I feel. Jonah, the people in Nineveh, fasted and prayed. And God healed their land. They were spared the judgment of God. King Jehoshaphat, you remember the story of King Jehoshaphat? I'm just giving you so many examples, scriptural examples, church, examples from church history. You know, the people proclaimed a fast. Now, I want you to hear this. This is 2 Corinthians 20, verses 2 through 4. Now, the big thing in the church, and this is totally to me, I'm sorry, I think it's totally demonic. The new thing in the church is, well, no one can talk about fasting because fasting has to be a big secret. Really? Because Jehoshaphat inquired of the Lord And after inquiring of the Lord, he publicly proclaimed a fast for all Judah. Doesn't sound like he's keeping the fast a secret, is it? Does that sound like a secret? How come the scripture tells us over and over again that all the people were fasting? Well, if it was a big secret, how did they all know when everybody else was fasting? The Bible tells us in the New Testament that the disciples were fasting and praying together. It wasn't a big secret. I mean, I can't even tell you how much criticism I've gotten for daring to talk about, oh, you can't talk about fasting. That is demonic. That's the devil. He's afraid. He knows the power of God that is unleashed when God's people devote themselves to prayer and fasting. When we stop sowing to the flesh, sowing to the flesh, sowing to the flesh, and begin to sow into the Spirit, he knows he's going to have to release his stranglehold on our marriages and our kids, and we're going to be loosed from the bonds of addiction. And he's scared to death. And that's why he creates all this intimidation. Oh, that fasting, ooh, is a big, big secret. You can tell how passionately I feel about it because I've walked in this and I've seen the power of prayer and fasting and a brokenness and a humility before God. We humble ourselves before God. We're broken before him. And we cry out and we acknowledge our need for him. Believe me, when your stomach is saying, eat, 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 trust me, you will be praying. You will, you know, every time you walk by an Oreo cookie, man, you will be in your prayer place saying, God, help me. Help me not to give in to what I want, what I think, what I feel. Now, of course, we can go too far. You know, anybody who knows anything about me knows that I always say, be well balanced, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And you know who he devours every time? It's the person who is out of balance. So be well balanced, sisters. Walk in wisdom in all of this. And don't lose sight of your objective. Your objective is to press into God, say no to the flesh, and yes to God. Okay? The objective is not to try to lose weight. You know, not to prove that you can starve yourself. Here's some guidelines, okay? People who shouldn't fast. If you are already physically emaciated, you know, if you are already significantly underweight, you shouldn't be fasting. If you tend to be anemic and are just a very weak person, if you have a tumor, a bleeding ulcer, if you have cancer, blood diseases, if you have problems with your kidneys, your liver, your lungs, your heart, vital organs, if you are diabetic, if you have hypoglycemia, you know, if you're pregnant, you're nursing, okay? If you have a really major health issue, then yeah, you're the kind of person who better talk to your doctor before you do anything, before you order the Pizza Hut and live on coffee and donuts. You should probably talk to your doctor. So yes, you are the person that does need to talk to your doctor. But for the woman who's just sick and tired all the time, I'm telling you what, fasting could be such a breakthrough, such a breakthrough for you. Now, in preparation, I know that those of you who did get the, I sent out the cookbook. You know, to me, it's a little elaborate. My girlfriend put that together. Actually, my girlfriend's daughter. To me, it's a little bit elaborate. Again, I would take what you need and leave the rest. You know, you don't want to get to the point where this becomes all-consuming to you. I don't want you to be so obsessed with what's happening or not happening, with what you're eating or not eating, that you're missing out on the spiritual point. You know, this is supposed to be a spiritual experience. Joy, thank you. How could I forget Jesus? Hello? Yes, Jesus fasted 40 days in the desert. You know, I do want to say this, that women, and not just women, but food is clearly an issue. You know, I don't want to lose sight of what happened in the garden, because it was the second most powerful spiritual event in human history. You know, after the cross, you know, was what happened in that garden. So I don't want to minimize all of the theological implications of what happened there. But sometimes we miss the forest for the trees, sisters. And the bottom line is that when the devil was trying to come up with a way to tempt a woman, he used food. He did not want Eve to walk in the power and the authority of God. He did not want Eve to become all that God would have her be. He did not want Eve living in obedience and enjoying fellowship with God and fruitfulness upon the earth. Is anybody getting this? He saw that Eve was somebody who could do real damage to his agenda, that she would be used by God to advance God's agenda upon the earth. He said, I've got to stop that woman. And what did he use? He used food. Let's not miss it, sisters. He used food. And when I speak at churches all around the country, and I'm not trying to be unkind, I'm not trying to be mean, I'm not trying to pick on anybody, and I have openly shared, food is a struggle for me. I totally, left to my own devices, I am a carb addict. There is no one on earth who loves cookies and cakes and sweets and donuts any more than I do. I really am a carbohydrate addict. I love and could live on carbohydrates. When my father died, and you know all of the leading up to his death in June of 2006, I gained 30 pounds. I was way, way, way. I was four sizes larger than I am right now. Okay, so, and I have yo-yo dieted my whole life. So I'm not, you know, Pollyanna, you know, just give me half a grapefruit, please, kind of a gal. I'm a woman who loves a big piece of pizza as much as anybody. I'm living in the real world right with you, okay? And I'm telling you, food can be a real stumbling block for us. And we need to come to the place where we're walking in balance and eating right. You know, yeah, have a chocolate chip cookie. Don't eat the whole bag. You know, make a batch of chocolate chip cookies, but don't eat the whole batch. Portions. We're going to talk about this week. Portions. So vital. If we would just reduce the size of our portions, I'm telling you, it would be solved. But as I travel around the country, I look out and I see so many women who are so overweight. And it just breaks my heart. Because, you know, maybe it doesn't affect the marriage relationship, but my guess is that it probably does affect the marriage relationship. It affects your ability to function in the day at the level of energy and vitality that you'd probably love to have. Probably affects your self-esteem. You look in the mirror and think, my goodness gracious, how did I put on all this weight? It's discouraging when you go in. I've been there. You open the closet door, and I lived the season. There was not one thing left that I could fit. I had one skirt left. I'm not making this up. I had one skirt left. And I said, you know what? This is a stewardship issue. Something's going on with me spiritually. Something's happening with me emotionally that I need to deal with. And going out and buying the next size clothes is not the answer. The answer is getting on my face before God and crying out for mercy and grace and saying, God, what is happening with me? I'm gaining all of this weight. I can't stop eating. I'm out of control. God, I need you to heal this place, this loss, this gaping hole with my father being gone now or whatever's going on with me. And sisters, I think that so often we just cover it up and say, well, you know, my husband just has to accept. This is how I look. I'm getting older now. You know, and I hope you do have a wonderful husband who says, honey, I love you just the way you are. But, again, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings here. But I'm loving you enough. You know, you registered and you paid to take this class. And I'm trying to challenge you to come up higher. And I'm not saying, you know, yes, your husband loves you. I'm sure he does. I'm sure he still thinks you're beautiful. But I'm saying if you've gained, you know, 30, 40, 50, 75, 100 pounds since your wedding day, maybe it's not just your metabolism. Maybe something else is going on with you. Maybe you do have a health problem and you need to go to the doctor. I don't know. But there's something happening. And I think you need to come before the Lord, you know, and begin, you know, we don't need to solve this in the next 10 minutes, but we need to come before the Lord and say, God, am I running to food? Is food becoming like a god to me, that when I'm hurt, when I'm depressed, when I'm discouraged, I'm eating rather than praying? I'm eating real, tangible food rather than feeding upon your word? Jesus said that God's word is like bread. We need to come before him. And sisters, I've been there. I've had to come before God and say, God, why am I not feeding on your word? Why am I not hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Why am I, sisters, I'm being honest, why am I literally, and I do this, I've been there, literally binged on food till the point that I felt like I had to throw up. I have done it. I have done it. Literally binged on chocolate to the point that I was physically ill. And knew I was physically making myself sick on food. I just couldn't stop. Something's going on there. Something spiritual is happening there. And we need to press into God. We need to get on our face before him in brokenness and humility and say, God, I've got a problem with food. And I want to eat healthy. I want to hunger and thirst for righteousness and right living. I want to eat reasonable portions of healthy food. And, yeah, sometimes have delicacies from the world and enjoy that. You know, maybe Mother's Day. You know, you guys are just going to have to ask God. You know, if your five-year-old makes you a homemade cupcake on Mother's Day, you know, I think you're going to have to ask God to, you know, tell you how to handle that. Okay? We're not under law. God will show you. You know, maybe your family will say, hey, Mother's Day, you know what? We want to support you. We've made you the most beautiful spinach salad. You know, we've made you a vegetable cat, you know, whatever. God's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. I don't know. I feel like I've been hard on you here. But oh, you're not paying me to be your, you know, buddy who says, stay the way you are. You've paid and sown and invested into this class because you're looking for a new you, not the old you. And I'm telling you that food is a stumbling block. It's been a stumbling block in my life, and I think it's been a stumbling block in a lot of our lives. Reasonable portions of God's food. That's the answer. And one of the things I share is, you know, I think I shared this in the book, actually. Look on the side of, if you're eating out of a box, not this week now, of course, this week, no eating out of boxes, but when you go back to eating out of boxes and bags, read what it says on the side, what the portion is, and it'll say like a half a cup, and measure out, or like on the cereal box, it'll say, that, you know, 1 cup, 3/4 cup. Measure that out, and you will be blown away of what a portion is. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. We have been so distorted. You're going to see a video that I did this week on portions. I would love if one of you ladies are a collector of like teacups, post some pictures of teacups and how they have evolved. You know, look at a teacup, and I've seen these from like the 1700s. You know, I grew up in New Jersey, and you know, we'd have like, you know, the George Washington and the Betsy Ross house and genuine reproductions of the furniture, and the teacups are tiny. And then the 1800s, and then the 1900s, the early 1900s, and then just look now the size of the coffee mugs. And I would love for someone to just make a visual of that. And I think it would be so powerful, and maybe next would put a picture of the average size of the person, and we would have a mystery solved. I cannot believe the size of the soda cups at these fast food restaurants. I took my daughter some Tuesday nights, they like to go to Chick-fil-A, you know, so I take them to Chick-fil-A, and I cannot believe the size of soda. I mean, I probably have not had that much soda in the last 10 years that they serve up as, you know, one drink. I truly believe a lot of why we're overweight is not just the food we eat, but the beverages. We take in so many calories through our beverages. I had someone in my life, and I won't name who, but I kept telling this person who was just gaining weight, I mean just gaining, just crazy weight gain. And I kept telling this person, I think it's what you're drinking. Because this person, you know, worked in an office, and again, I'm not bashing Starbucks because I do love their tall peppermint mocha And I know that they do great work. I've seen their work. I was in Papua New Guinea, and I came to a village where Starbucks was working, and they do great work, and so I'm not bashing them. But this person worked in an office, like, you know, just a couple doors down from the Starbucks, and used to have three of the largest size caramel macchiatos. I think, if I'm not mistaken, that's almost 3,000 calories a day just in coffee. Now, you know, I don't have right in front of me how many calories. I think 1,200 calories is probably right for the average woman. That might be off. You know, it's surely not more than 2,000. So in other words, what I'm saying is this person was drinking in coffee more calories than their body should have had in food for the entire day. So I would definitely encourage you, look to your beverage intake if you're trying to lose weight. I would start with that. Just do not drink anything other than water until you get to your normal weight. You know, and when I say water, you know, I think you can add a little bit of a lemon to it. You could add a little bit of, I like the cranberry water. I mentioned that. But I would just, if I were more than 20, 25 pounds overweight, I think I wouldn't do anything other than water as my beverage. And I think that right there would make a big difference in your life. Obviously, we're going to talk next week. We're going to talk about fitness and exercise and all of that kind of thing. I think what I'm going to do is go ahead and pray and wrap up my teleseminar portion. Let me look and see if there's anything else that I wanted to share about healthy eating and fasting. I think I drove home the idea that I think if we were to fast maybe one day a week, just to give our body a break from food, that would really go a long way to helping us maintain our weight. I know what I wanted to share. I think it's Isaiah 58, if I'm not mistaken, where God talks about fast. And he says, you know, is this the kind of fast I've chosen, only a day? So it is definitely a day. For a man or woman to humble himself, for bowing one's head, for lying on sackcloth and ashes. You know, he's not looking for melodrama. He's looking for the kind of fast that will empower us to loose chains of injustice, untie cords of the yoke, set the oppressed free. He's looking for the kind of fast that's going to empower us supernaturally. And he's looking for the kind of fast that will get us focused on the needs of others. He talks about sharing our food with the hungry, providing for the poor, giving clothes to others. Again, as you say no to yourself, as you deny yourself and focus on the kingdom, that's where we started today, isn't it? Then, if you fast the right way, your light will break forth like the dawn. Your healing will quickly appear. Don't miss the context. God says if you fast in the right way, your light will break forth like dawn. Your healing will appear. I do believe that fasting can bring physical healing to some ailments. Your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. And I just heard a sermon yesterday. I went to church twice yesterday. Last night, Pastor was talking about glory, and I think it's kabal or something in the Hebrew, and the word glory literally means the power or authority derived from a victory. Cool. The glory, the victory of the Lord will be your rear guard. God's got your back. Then you'll call on God. When is then? Then is after you've fasted the way God would have you fast. Then, after you've fasted and prayed, focused on the kingdom concerns, you will call upon the Lord and he will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, "Here am I." Wow! Tell you what, I'm excited about this 10-day fast. I'm excited and I'm going to walk it with you. And I've read of people, Jen says she's heard of people cured of cancer from fasting. I'm telling you, fasting is powerful. Fasting is powerful on every level. I don't know why overnight auction is here. So obviously this is a spammer, so just ignore it. And let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much. First of all, I ask that this person who is invading our, if this is a computer, God, I ask you to shut it down. If this is a person, I ask that they would leave right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you so much for your goodness to us. I thank you that you love us, that you care for us. God, that you teach us to say no to the things of this world so that we can say yes to the things of the Spirit. God, that you don't want us to be selfish, self-centered people whose only concern is what I want, what I think, and what I feel. But God, you want us to be the kind of person who will focus on advancing your kingdom around the world. You want us to be the kind of people who care about the hurting, who care about the poor and the hungry and the oppressed. Father, you want us to be concerned for those around the world who need your grace and your mercy. And God, I thank you that as we fast and as we pray and we make a deliberate decision not to just live for ourselves, but to live for something higher than ourselves, to live for your kingdom, to live for the things of the Spirit, God, that you are going to bless us and we are going to see answers to our prayer. God, I pray for every person on this call tonight and in this chat room tonight, that as they take these 10 days and take up this Daniel challenge of eating your food and setting themselves aside to devote themselves to you, that you will give them a miraculous breakthrough, whatever it is that they need, as they lay that aside and focus on you, that you're going to be their rear guard, that you're going to have their back, that you are going to fight that battle that they've been fighting. They've been fighting with their husband. They've been fighting with their kids. They've been fighting with their boss. They've been fighting with the scale. They've been fighting with an addiction. They've been fighting with the mortgage company. They've been fighting this, that, and the other. They've been fighting all these battles, and there are women on this call tonight, and they're just exhausted, and they're tired of fighting. God, I thank you, as they lay that down, that you are going to fight on their behalf. You are going to move on their behalf. They're going to see changes. They're going to see breakthroughs. They're going to see victories won. They're going to see victories won. And I thank you for it. I thank you for it. Amen.